the name of Jesus. Amen. All Saints Day is, among other things, those who sometimes think that the church is shrinking. This is a big list. And this is only a few, dear saints. The church is not small. The church is not shrinking. Open your eyes to the ones that you cannot see, along with the eyes that you can. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And then the angels will reply, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and honor and might, etc., be to our God." Dear saints, All Saints Day is one of the hardest days for me to preach since I've become a pastor. And it wasn't until one pastor pointed out why that it truly made sense. Because today, above all other days, is a day that I just want to sing. And just keep on singing. And in fact, this antiphonal thing going on within our Revelation text. Antiphon meaning a call and a response. Someone says something and someone responds back. It's a song. When my wife and I were in East Lansing, Michigan, we'd go to Michigan State football games, and tens and thousands of people in one side of the stadium would yell, "Go green!" And the other side of the stadium would yell, "Go white!" That's the antiphon, dear saints, and the church has it when I say, "The Lord be with you," and you say, "And with your spirit." It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And how in the world can you get close to the beauty of All Saints Day, the beauty of crying out, except just by singing? How do you express the combination of the sorrow and the joy that comes from naming our loved ones who have died in Christ and now see Jesus face to face? Today is a day in which the Christian confesses that we are sad, that we mourn, but that our mourning doesn't come from them no longer being with us, but that we are not yet with them. How can you express the combination of the pain you feel at death's sting and the comfort of knowing that death is defeated? How can you express the combination of the anger that you might have at God for taking them away and the thanksgiving that you have for God that they have come out of the great tribulation, that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that the same is true for you? You too will come out and stand before the throne of the living God day and night and be with him. And I think singing is about as close as you can get to expressing those things. And the name of today is so wonderfully appropriate: All Saints. The church throughout all times and places has set aside certain days for certain saints, in which the entire church gets together and they say, "Thank you, God, for Moses. Thank you, God, for Daniel. Thank you, God, for Peter and Paul and Mary and Mary and Mary and so many Marys within the New Testament." But see, this day isn't primarily about the big names. And in fact, I might be alone in, oh, I know I'm not alone in this, but most of those names are names I did not recognize. And perhaps the same might be true for some of you. They weren't big, big names necessarily, but they were your names. They were God's gift to you. And you knew them. And you celebrate and thank the Lord for them. Our Lutheran confessions give us three reasons why we commemorate the saints. The first is in thanksgiving to God. The second is because it strengthens our faith. And the third is that you need godly examples. So God be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the gifts of the big names. And thank you, Jesus, for the names in which maybe you only knew. You see, we ought never say to Daniel, be all the glory for his courage in the midst of the lion's den. We ought never say to Peter, be the glory for rejoicing at being beaten for the gospel's sake. And when we come to Lutheran funerals, you don't hear to Mom, be the glory, great things she has done. But instead, we say to God, be the glory, great things he has done in giving us Mom and Peter and Daniel. And we thank the Lord that he wished to save them by giving them his son and giving them faith in his son. And the second reason we do it is because it strengthens our faith. Because we see not only with the big names in the Bible, we see in the very, very small names, the ones that we knew very particularly and very well, that they were and clearly and truly sinners. They had their struggles. Perhaps their struggles were directly connected with us. If you knew them well, you knew their anger. If you knew them well, you knew they lied. If you knew them well, you knew they had their doubts, they had their worry, and boy, they struggled with their prayer life. And this, in fact, Jesus says, if you recognize, blessed are you. This gets to our gospel reading, in which Jesus says something amazing. He says, blessed are you. And the very first Beatitudes, the very first four blessings are things in which people don't have. They lack it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says. That is, blessed are those who recognize that they don't have a rich spirit, that they have a lot of poverty in their heart, that they have a lot of sin deep down in there, that their spirit is so very weak. Blessed are the mourn. If you mourn, it's because you lack something. Something has been lost. Perhaps it's a person, but you certainly lack the ability to keep someone alive that you had wanted to keep alive. And if you are a Christian, the thing in which you lack is not only death, but the thing in which you mourn is not only death, you also mourn sin. Because the wages of sin is death. That is the cause of death. And so you mourn over sin. Blessed are the meek, Jesus says. And if you are meek, you lack stubbornness and pride that says to God and says to others, my way or the highway. You value submission. You value putting yourself in order. In the orders in which God has given you, the orders of state, the orders of family, and above all, let me get this right. Above all, the order of family. Above all, second comes the order of church. And the third one on the list, the least important of all the things in which God has instituted, is government. That is the least important thing in your life. It's important, but it's the least important. It comes third after family and church. So please remember that Tuesday evening, dear saints. And the final beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you hunger and thirst for something, it's because you don't have it. You don't hunger and thirst for a taco and a Coke when you've just eaten a lot of tacos and drank a lot of Coke. And you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness if you think you have enough to stand before God, that you are awesome enough. You hunger and thirst for it. You don't have enough. So when you come before Him, you leave your excuses at the door. And something amazing happens. That when these saints, when you as His saints, you as His holy ones, confess the things in which you don't have, the things in which you lack, Jesus gives you good stuff. He fills you. He gives you His blessings. You get amazing gifts, God's good stuff, the kingdom of heaven. You shall be comforted. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be satisfied. And the final thing, dear saints, why we commemorate the saints is because we need godly examples. You see, as Christians confess the things in which they lacked before God, and as God filled them, they strove to live a holy life, marked by being merciful, marked by being pure in heart, marked by being a peacemaker, and marked by taking joy in being persecuted by the world as they stood up for God, His commands, and in His promises. So follow godly examples. You've been forgiven. You have been shown mercy. Live a life that is marked in having mercy. Mercy especially to the ones that you don't think deserve it. Live a life marked by being pure in heart. Confess that it is not simply enough to keep your words inside here. It's a good thing to keep your words inside here, but it's not enough. Desire to be pure in heart toward the ones that you are angry at, towards the ones that you are frustrated at. Confess that you desire a clean and pure heart toward them. Be a peacemaker. As you confess that God is at peace with you, so in all that you can do, live at peace with one another and count yourselves blessed if the world mocks you for your Christianity, especially within a culture that desires, among all things, sexual freedom. Freedom to do whatever, and you say, no, 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 I know a better way. A way in which the Lord has instituted marriage and given the gift of children and given an order in the family. I love you, but I cannot celebrate that. And you too will know one day why you ought not celebrate that as well. Jesus gives good stuff. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You shall receive mercy. You shall see God, and you shall be called sons of God. And so on this day, where the saints, some saints, are named. And as you begin to get frustrated that you are not yet with them, as you battle and as you war and you think you are losing, open up your ears and hear the song. There is a distant triumph song. The steel drums are beating, and the song is going, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. And the reply of the angels to your singing is amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.